Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota, whose main goals are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Better than I deserve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Today, Pastor Radical is going to lead us in a devotion based on 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
We're looking at verses 27 through 29. Paul's admonishing the Christians in Corinth, but also encouraging them at the same time. If you read through 1 Corinthians, you'll see there was a lot of problems in that congregation. Like most epistles, the Apostle Paul, through the work of the Holy Spirit, was trying to bring unity no matter where there was disunity, whether it be sinful living that needed to be addressed with discipline from the congregations, whether it be doctrinal divisions, all of it points back to the unity that we want to see as Christians who are following Christ. And so in this connection with chapter 11, Paul in this latter half speaks more to how they're coming together for the Lord's Supper. We know that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper on Monday, Thursday, and Paul has recounted those words from the Gospels right before this part. And then he goes into this warning, which you don't see in baptism. And we can maybe talk about that a little bit, but there's a warning here with the Lord's Supper. And he says here in verses 27 through 29 of 1 Corinthians 11, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So there's really three phrases there that I think that are important to look at. I'm looking forward to hearing your comments too. And I think the concern that we have, and we'll be talking about this a little bit more in our doctrine part of the podcast, is that he who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. I know there's a lot of scholars who have a wide opinion of what that is, what that guilt means. There is some form of judgment, as we see in the third phrase here from verse 29. We don't know exactly what that was. After these verses, it talks about believers falling asleep. So whether that means they were, because of their careless use of God's word, because of their careless use of the sacrament, were they falling asleep in their faith? Like basically their faith was whittling away because of their lack of care for the Lord's Supper. In my short experience in the ministry, when people aren't hungering or caring about receiving the Lord's Supper, that's usually the first sign, in my opinion, where they start to be stumbling and really struggling in their faith. When, oh, I don't care if I get the Lord's Supper or not. That's a good telltale sign. But that guilt, that judgment might not just be spiritual faith. The Lord could be using this as an example, and that people could have actually been dying because the Lord would be putting them to death because of their total misuse of God's word, which is also something you see throughout the Bible where the Lord would give examples. You maybe think of Ananias and Sapphira. So it's a very serious first phrase there, that being guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And I think an important point that really connects with what we said last week about the real presence, it says very clearly in that phrase, that same verse, who eats this bread or drinks this cup, the wine, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So that verse all by itself, I think, does a great job of showing the real presence, because it's interchangeably using bread and body, cup and blood. And it does that again. So when it says, let a man examine himself, that's the purpose of coming to Lord's Supper. It is that repentance. It is that desire to eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And that's why our liturgies, that's why our services are focused on helping prepare the Christian, just like our confirmation classes would, helping prepare the Christian for what they're about to receive. And as we mentioned before, the unity that is professed, 1 Corinthians 10 talks about this, as we go up there together as a body of Christ. So last phrase there just reiterates that first part of that guilt. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. And once again, real presence idea coming in there, not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning what miracle is happening in the sacrament. And I think that's where the joy comes in. We can look at this verse and say like, oh, this sounds awful. This sounds like this. Why would we even take the Lord's Supper? Well, the promise that we have through the Lord's Supper is that the Lord promises his body and blood in a miraculous way, which like we said with the psalmist, taste and see the Lord is good. And the whole idea is that he is strengthening our faith. He is assuring us of our sins forgiven. He's declaring to us his righteousness and saying, I love you, I forgive you. And that's all really connected with these phrases here that give us that joy of the gospel. So it's a powerful weapon. And like any weapon, like a vehicle, there you have to take it carefully. You have to treat it carefully. There's some instruction that needs to happen before you take it, but there's a powerful blessing that comes from it as well. So I'd like to hear your thoughts too on this section, Pastor Nauman.
Yeah, you know, I kind of think of it as, you know, it's something that God entrusts to us that to use carefully. You know, it's like a tool. You know, a lot of the tools that I use in my house, I think I have a chop saw and, you know, a circular saw, and, you know, these tools are important and they can accomplish good things. But if you misuse those tools, very bad things can happen. And that's what we see here with this tool, which is really one of the means of grace. The gospel is found in the word and sacraments, how the Holy Spirit works for us. If we misuse this tool that he gives to us, it can cause very serious damage and harm. And, you know, that's why you see a lot of people really being careful and cautious and somber when they are taking communion, because they understand just how precious and holy the body and blood of Jesus Christ is. So it's the sacrament is an interesting mix between, you know, both somberness because of the understanding of exactly what you're doing, but also the joy of understanding what you're doing too. So, you know, I always, when I'm distributing communion, I try to have a smile up there, even though there's a lot of somberness going on as well, because, you know, I think it's a good, we should consider it happy and sad, just as we look at the cross, and it makes us sad that Jesus needed to die there, but it also makes us happy because he did, to take away our sins. And so I think that, you know, as we consider the sacrament as a giving to us the work of Jesus on the cross, it's important to keep that joy and that somberness, I guess, for lack of a better word, as we consider his work.
Absolutely. Fitting words as we get ready to approach Ash Wednesday and Lent here just next week. So I'm glad we're having this discussion. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we weigh the heaviness of some of these words, help us also to weigh the easy yoke that you've given to us, in that you've lifted all of our sins. And through things like the sacrament of Holy Communion, you've assure us, you promise us once again of our sins forgiven and the joy of our eternal life through you. Help us to look forward to receiving this sacrament. Help us look forward to hearing your word in every opportunity we are able to, and continue to bless us through your Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith and trust your love, your forgiveness and mercy, and to continue to help us to walk according to your word and your will. Bless us, Lord Jesus, always. In your saving name we pray. Amen.
Amen. A couple updates, reminders for the coming few weeks here at Emmanuel. As Pastor mentioned, a week from today, February 17th is Ash Wednesday. We'll be having 6 p.m. service. So customarily, we used to have a 1 p.m. service. This year, we've decided just to reduce that to the 6 p.m. service, which will once again be live streamed. That'll be a communion service, so prepare your hearts for that. We'll get some announcements coming out soon about when you can pick up those communion packets if you're viewing online, so stay tuned for that. You can look for an email coming out on that fairly soon.
For that Lenten service, just a heads up, we're going to be doing a series called Walking with Peter. And so starting Ash Wednesday, we're going to be looking at different attitudes of Peter that are also found in ourselves: pride, complacency, misunderstandings, distant discipleship, companies that we keep, and denial of our Lord as well. So we'll be seeing how the Lord addresses those things with Peter and also with us. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, excited to see how those things be applied to our lives and how Jesus righted all those wrongs in Peter and writes those wrongs in us as well. So because Ash Wednesday is beginning, our weekly Wednesday Bible study is being postponed until after Easter. So that would be April 7th, I believe we'd pick that up back again. Easter is on April 4th. So until then, we will postpone our online Bible study, and we will pick that up again after Easter and hopefully run that through the end of the school year, at least. Tonight, we are doing our final study on the fellowship discussion. The past 2 weeks have gone very well, I believe, and pray that the Lord would continue to bless our efforts there as we try to investigate and see what God's word has to say about this important doctrine of church fellowship and how we apply that to our lives as well. This weekend, we continue our family Sunday school lessons. Those have been going pretty well, and I enjoyed going through these lessons you learned when you were a kid and applying those lessons to our lives. We're hoping to get the packets of those out fairly soon. So if you're unable to attend in person for that, you can at least take it home and go through it with your family as well. This coming weekend, February 14th, after our Sunday service, we'll be having and calling a voters meeting. So all voters, please plan on attending that. We have some important business to attend to. We have two teacher calls that need to go out for the high school level. There's a kind of a administrator, PE, health, and kind of whole bunch of stuff call is one, and the other is a math and science call. We have call lists prepared. The Board of Ed met last night, and we're going to distribute those to the congregation coming up this week, and for your prayerful consideration as we look to who we're going to call to fill our vacancies. Also this weekend, there's a couple of other things that need to be approved. The air conditioning unit in the high school needs to be replaced. The check valve that caused all those problems in the gym, the flooding and everything else, we have the Board of Property that came up with a solution for that. And so that needs to be approved to spend money to fix that as well, so we don't flood our gym again. And last thing is a motion from the council to upgrade our live stream of our services. So spending about a little more than $8,000, I believe, to do a serious upgrade to our live stream capabilities, and hopefully that'll be a wonderful addition to the work we do and the many people who are continuing to watch our services online. Finally, just regarding our prayer list, we keep Marie Meyer in our prayers. Again, that's the sister of Grace Schreier. She has been diagnosed with cancer. She lives over in Red Wing, Minnesota, and we pray the Lord to continue to bless her and strengthen her through her treatments as well. And this brings us back to our doctrine of the day. Today we're doing part two on the Lord's Supper. Just to recap a little bit, last week we talked about some of the false teachings we see in different churches. The Catholic Church teaches the doctrine of transubstantiation, which is that Jesus's that the bread and wine completely transform. They transubstantiate, their substance changes into the body and blood of Christ. And whereas the Reformed Church would teach that, well, the bread and the wine simply represent the body of Christ. They aren't actually the body of Christ. And we talked about how what the Lutheran Church teaches is the doctrine of the real presence, which basically means that it is the bread and wine, and it is the body and blood, just as Jesus said. And that fits very well with our opening devotion today, as you mentioned there, Pastor Radical, where it says, uses those, the body and blood and the bread and wine interchangeably there. And we simply take our reason and put it in the back seat and trust in what God tells us there regarding the sacrament. So I guess I kind of want to kick off our discussion today with kind of the idea of when we do the sacrament, when we come to the Lord's table, sometimes it can easily fall into the trap of thinking that, well, this is something that I'm doing for God. After all, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So, okay, I'm doing it. So is the Lord's Supper, is the sacrament a commandment in the sense of, you know, there's the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not covet. Is when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, is it something that I'm doing for God? Is that how we should view it, Pastor?
No. A sacrament, you define that as a sacred act. And so if we were to focus on what we're doing for God, then we know that we're going to be tainting that, and it's not going to be what we want it to be. It's going to be mixed with all kinds of problems and sins. And we do find that when we take the Lord's Supper, we have doubts, we have questions and concerns, which is why we need that childlike faith. So the sacrament is something that God is doing for us, just like we maybe call it a divine service. We don't go to church to serve God per se. We go to church to be served by God through his word and through his sacraments. And so Lord's Supper would be that way of him serving us with this sacred act of what he's promising, what he's blessing, and what he's accomplishing through this means of grace, like you mentioned earlier, the gospel, word, and sacraments. So it's something that we do because Christ commands us to continue to do it, but Christ is commanding that because he wants us to be blessed by it. He wants us to be strengthened by it. You can maybe compare it to a parent saying, eat your vegetables out of love for their kids because they want them to be strong and healthy. In the same way, the Lord is saying, I want you to continue to do this, knowing what I've done for you, knowing the promises I'm giving to you through this sacrament, so that your soul would be strong and healthy in the word of God that's given through the sacrament as well. A tangible thing, you know, that you can taste and see. That's the wonderful part about the sacrament, is that you can touch it and taste it, and you trust what God's promising through there, a miraculous way from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we talked a little bit last week about the education methods and if we touch the sacrament, we're actually tasting the forgiveness of sins, and how God uses these extra senses to enable us to really taste and see the forgiveness of God. You come to church and you hear you're forgiven, and that's your audible sense, your ability to hear, but also now to taste and to touch and to feel. Those senses are being involved too. And just like a teacher gets many senses involved to teach their children, the different subjects, so God is getting different senses involved to teach us about the forgiveness of sins.
I like that you asked. I guess I'd ask you, as far as it being a good work, how would you describe that?
As far as going to the sacrament as a good work?
Yeah, like I think we'd probably both agree that we would encourage people to say, well, this is a good thing to do. We probably won't use the phrase good work for that, but yeah. How would you describe that as far as this context?
Right. Yeah, I think I would definitely be careful using it in this context. Good work is something that God calls us to do out of response for what he has done for us. But the sacrament is purely something that he has done for us. I think it's always good way to delineate it, to think about it is the law is how we show our love. The gospel is how God shows his love. So is the sacrament the law and the way that we show our love, or is this the Lord's Supper the gospel and how God shows us his love? And I think the answer is clearly the second. This is God pouring out his son's body and blood for us. It is something that God does for us. So it's not a law. A good work would be when you keep the law, when you would do something that God asks you to do, and that'd be a good work before God. Whereas this is a work that God does for us. So I think we need to be careful about how we would use that phrase. Lastly, maybe the last topic on this Lord's Supper that we can talk about would have to do with the idea of open communion versus closed communion, or versus close communion. I guess you hear all those phrases. Do you want to kind of talk about those three different types of communion and what they kind of mean and why we kind of use the language we use?
Sure. I think I really like the way we have these questions in our discussion here, because so far it seems like everything we've been talking about would be good, we want to be blessed by this. We want to do what's good. And then ultimately, it feels like a law sometimes when we talk about open versus closed communion. So what makes one worthy to take the sacrament? We talked about that repentance. We talked about understanding the real presence. But this whole open versus closed communion can feel like a law and it kind of puts a downplay on the whole gospel message that we just talked about. So I like using the term closed communion. I know some guys like close. Close always makes me think of, well, as long as we're close enough and believing what Jesus has done for us, then we should be able to take the Lord's Supper together. I think you can use that in the right way. Close in the sense of we want to be close with Christ. We want to be close with our brethren and sisters in Christ who believe the same thing. But I think that can be misleading, just like when you define good work. I like close, not because we want to close it to everybody, but it is close because of the warning that God uses. I don't commune my own children yet until they've been confirmed, because of the warning that's given there. And I don't want to give them the Lord's Supper to their judgment. So it's a loving thing, just like we talked about being responsible with something that's very powerful, like the tool you said. We want to make sure that people are taking it, having studied, having understood what it means. Not only that, so it's the whole taking it to your own judgment part of it, but it's also the part of being united in our faith as well, and the unity that we profess there also. So those are the two spots, but I'd like to hear how you would explain those a little bit more too, like the loving side of keeping it closed or close, however, I'm fine with whatever term you use, or the other side about the unity that's to be expressed in it as well.
Yeah, I think I probably lean more towards liking the word close than close, but I think both those can be understood in a good way or a bad way, depending on how you want to do it. So I think those are kind of the best and most common words you'll hear describing our practice here. But close, it can be, you can understand how I understand your concerns about it just means, well, we're close, but we're not all the way together. You know, I think that's one way to understand the word close, but the other way is united, that we're, you know, we're joined, we're close together, we are together. And that's kind of how I think of it. And even, but we definitely need to explain what that means when we say close communion. Closed, you know, it can have kind of the negative connotation of we're better than you and get, you know, get out of here if you don't belong here. And that's certainly not what we mean to say either, but rather it's look, we're, this is restricted for our members and those people whose confession we're aware of. So, you know, you can see how both of those can be good as long as they're understood right. So I'm, again, comfortable using both of them, but we just need to explain to people what we mean when we say those things. Lastly today, I think I'd like to talk about the kind of the idea of what, you know, we talked a lot about the power of the Lord's Supper and the warning of the Lord's Supper, but how do we know we're ready to receive the Lord's Supper? How do we know we're worthy? You know, we come to church on Sunday morning. How can I be sure that I'm not taking and eating and drinking to my own judgment? How can I be sure that I'm ready to receive the sacrament?
Individual, you know, I think Luther has those Christian. You stop and think if there's three or four good questions, you know, do I believe in the real presence? Do I believe that Jesus did die for my sins? Am I repentant of those sins? And do I trust that Jesus once again assures me in the sacrament that I'm receiving that forgiveness and receiving that promise that my sins are forgiven to assure me and build up my faith? So the worthiness of it is really understanding that we are unworthy. And in that unworthiness, the Lord says, you are worthy because you need it to have that assurance. And I know it's maybe seems a little backwards when you first think about it. So that's what the individual can think about as they're preparing to take the Lord's Supper, you know, the week before or the morning of, or as they're going up. And I think the unity side of it too, as far as worthiness goes, I think you started to touch on that and have a little bit. It's not that we are more worthy in our congregation to join together to do this, but it's more of the sense is our congregation is joined together to do this because we believe the same thing about it and God's word. So we're not saying that those who don't take communion with us in this sense of unworthiness, transferring back to the previous question a little bit, it's that we're saying, it's not a, what do we say sometimes? It's not a judgment of someone's faith. It's an expression of our unity in faith, of what Christ is promising us, what we believe about the Lord's Supper, about what we believe in God's word. And that unity is very important.
Yep, totally agree. And, you know, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 11, you know, Paul talks about, are we not all one loaf? Are we not all one cup? And, you know, the Bible makes it clear that, you know, communion, the Lord's Supper is an act between ourselves and God, but it's certainly an act that we make as a unit as well, who come together to receive the Lord's Supper in this way. Awesome. So a lot of stuff to cover here on the Lord's Supper. Obviously, if you have any questions on it or thoughts on it, you'd like to reach out to us. We'd love to study that with you and walk through some of these important doctrines. But there's so much more that could be said here, but for now, we'll leave it there. Pastor Radical, you have a hymn of the day for us?
Yeah, we're looking at the TLH hymn 304. It's in the Lord's Supper section. And we talked about how you can use different words, like an awful mystery is here. And that's how we talked about on the one side, are we saying it awful, like in the negative sense, or is it awesome, awful in that way? So you think of it, whenever I look at this phrase, I always have to think about it. We're saying it's an awesome, it's full of awe, that kind of mystery that we're seeing here in the Lord's Supper. It's a miracle that's taking place here, how Jesus' body and blood can truly be present there in this meal. And as we say in other hymns, oh, taste and see that the Lord is real. So we're going to read a few verses here in our closing. An awful mystery is here to challenge faith and waken fear. The Savior comes as food divine, concealed in earthly bread and wine. In consecrated wine and bread, no eye perceives the mystery dread, but Jesus' words and strong are strong and clear. My body and my blood are here. How dull are all the powers of sense employed on proofs of love immense. The richest food remains unseen, and highest gifts appear. How mean, how right. But here we have no boon on earth, and faith alone discerns its worth. The word, not sense, must be our guide, and faith is sure since sight's denied. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, may God bless and keep you, and may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.